Question. Have you ever had anything canceled? Have you ever had anything canceled? I don't mean that you canceled something, but that somebody canceled on you. Have you ever been released from a debt? Anybody? Have you ever been forgiven and or been extended forgiveness? Any hands? Yeah? Well, not too many. I would say you're lying. Have you ever been released? Have you ever released someone from a debt that they owed you? Have you ever done that? Or here's an easy one. Has anyone covered the tab for you? Has anyone ever covered the check for you? Anybody? Yeah? How did you feel? How did that make you feel? Were you relieved? Because it was Christmas time and the whole family had gathered at a real expensive restaurant? Has anybody picked up the tab for you? This act of grace, or as we might say, of favor, is not common. So when it does happen to us, our person tends to be taken back with surprise. Have you ever lost your words? And humility takes over. We may even stubbornly try to refuse the act of love. Anybody done that? Oh, let me cover that for you. Oh, no, 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 you don't need to do that. No, sorry. I'll take care of that. But then they insist. And then you get in over an argument, who's going to pay the bill? Right? As absurd as that sounds, right? It takes us by surprise. Love and charity. That for most of us, it makes us feel uncomfortable, maybe even embarrassed. It's not to be an uncommon characteristic of the community of Jesus followers. It's supposed to be the characteristic of Jesus' followers. Charity, love, grace, and mercy. It's actually to be one of the identifying markers of a Spirit-filled Christ follower. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Anybody have any burdens? Physical? Spiritual? Practical? Do we have burdens? The Apostle Paul continues on by saying, Galatians 6, 8-9, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Don't give up doing good. Be really good at doing good. Be exceptional. Be like Christ. Because to be good doesn't actually come from the flesh. It comes from the Spirit. We see in the early church how the community of faith carried out the instruction of God to love and to love one another well. In Acts 2, 44-45, it says this, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Amazing picture, don't you think? I would sell what I have, maybe have an extra in abundance, and you have a need, and I would help fulfill that. Imagine if you have a community that does that and lives that out daily, all the time. What do you think you will have? No poverty? No poverty. You wouldn't have inequity. You wouldn't have inequality. Jesus shares with us a parable in which a man was in debt to the count of 200,000 years of wages. Any of you in debt that much? Any of you feel like you're in debt that much? 200,000 years of wages. Because one talent was equal to 20 years' wages. And the man owed a debt of 10,000 talents. 200,000 years of wages. Seems kind of extreme. Seems like he didn't have much of a money management in his background. He didn't have, you know, the computer to help track him. But since he could not repay the debt, the owner ordered him, his wife, his children, and all he had to be sold to make payment. Everything. Because back then, you could sell yourself into slavery. You could be ordered into slavery if you couldn't cover your debt and make the payment. How many of you have 200,000 years of wages stashed away and saved? Not many. But what would you do in that situation? Most of us, at least I don't have a rich aunt or a rich uncle or grandpa and grandma money bags to whom we could go to help us out. So what do you do? What would you do? Jesus' lesson in this parable is twofold. To the debt owner, he says what? He says, forgive the debt. To the debtor, he says, as you have been shown mercy, be merciful likewise. We find the parable in Matthew 18. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? So the story goes, the man owed a massive debt, 200,000 years of wages, goes before the king, and the king calls him to account, and he pleads with him, please, Lord, have mercy. And he extends him mercy and forgives the debt. That same man, being released from his debt, goes and finds somebody that owes him a day's wages. And what does he do? He throws him in jail. What's the evidence of the heart? Ingratitude or gratitude. How thankful was the man who had 200,000 years of wages forgiven? How grateful was he? Not very much. Because he goes out and he chases down, he finds a guy that owes him a day's wage and throws him in jail until he can pay him. What is God's kingdom like? God's kingdom is like the master who forgives the 200,000 years wages and he cancels the debt. And he says, you should have mercy and live your life in such a graceful and gratitude and merciful way that you will forgive a fellow man or woman their debt. Are we stingingly claiming our rights to a day's wage owned when we ourselves owe to Christ a debt that we could never, ever pay? Ultimately, Jesus is teaching about loving and forgiving a brother from your heart. Do not hold on to a debt. It is far more Christ-like and loving to forgive a debt than to fight for that which is of vast insignificance to God and His economy. 200,000 days of a wage doesn't matter to God. What matters to God is you, is me, is our status before Him. Do we know Him? Do we love Him? Do we know Jesus? Do we follow Him? Is our soul saved? That's what matters to Him. God and kingdom of redemption. God the Father is about redemption. Jesus Christ the Son is the vessel and mode of redemption. The Holy Spirit is our confirmation, reminder, and proclaimer of redemption, our assurance of redemption. The story is about redemption. God loves us so much that He will forgive the most deadly and most costly of sin and wipe it out. That's what Jesus did. What is redemption? Redemption is about being bought back. It is about being released from a debt that we cannot pay. It is about restoring one back to its original perfect state. Redemption is about someone previously paying the price for you to cash in on. The dictionary defines redemption as the action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. Or else, secondly, the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. Jesus paid a debt that we could not pay so that we could have something that we could never attain, eternal life. Redemption is the action of being saved or saving. Saving is what Jesus is all about. His purpose in coming to earth as a man was to save man from himself and Satan because we fell to the temptation that we can be and are gods. Genesis 3:5. Humanity fell to sin and death, needing to therefore be redeemed back to life, but having no means of paying the currency, making the payment, Jesus paid it for us by a perfect sacrifice. Therefore, we owed a debt that we could not pay. Who is the individual in the parable? Who is the ungrateful servant? Is it us? Romans 5:8-9, but God proves His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than since we have now been declared righteous by His blood, we will be saved through Him from wrath. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life? And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have now received this reconciliation through Him. Have we received payment for the debt that we could not pay? Have you believed upon and trusted in Jesus, O subject of the King? For Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No debt can be repaid without the lifeblood of Jesus applied. Hebrews 9:22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Why did Jesus have to die? Why did he have to shed his blood? So that we could have forgiveness. So that the debt of 200,000 days of wages could be lifted from our shoulders. That we could come to him clean. It doesn't matter the amount of debt. It doesn't matter what we've done. How much we owe. One payment for all. Satisfactory for all. Whether a talent or a denarii. Everything is covered by one act of love and mercy and grace. The year of redemption. As we observe the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, we are reminded that everything about the feasts of the Lord point to Jesus. Remember, they're not the feast of the Jews, they're the feasts of the Lord, Leviticus 23. Every feast points to Jesus. The Feast of Tabernacles, as we were reminded last week, is about the return of Jesus. We wait for Jesus to return and reclaim the world that is his followers, and judge and sentence for those that are not. We also celebrate one other important aspect on God's calendar, and that is the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee is found in Leviticus 25. We read about the year of Jubilee and we learn that it is a year of Sabbath and redemption. Land and vineyards were to lay fallow. They were to be untilled. They were to be unworked. Food was to be consumed from the field directly, but not stored and not gathered. God promised to the Israelites that if they followed his calendar and they followed his commands, that in the sixth year before the Sabbath year, he would bless them with double the abundance. So do we take his word? Do we trust the Lord? More importantly, though, during this time, during the year of Jubilee, all debt was to be forgiven and property was to be redeemed and restored to its original owners who had to sell out because of economic need. Isn't that great? So if I, as an Israelite, fell into economic need, I could go and I could sell my property to Colton if he wanted it. And Colton takes it, and it helps me to go forward, to pay the bills, to live. But on the seventh year of a Sabbath, every 7 years is a Sabbath year, all debt was to be forgiven. So if I owed Colton money, Colton was under obligation after the seventh year to forgive me my debt. 7 times 7 is what? 49. Plus 1 is what? 50. It's not a trick question. 7 times 7 is 49, which is 7 Sabbaths of 7, which leads us to the year of Jubilee. It's supposed to be celebrated on the 50th year. Jubilee, 50 years. During the year of Jubilee, debts were forgiven because it's a 7 of 7. On the seventh year of every year, on that Sabbath year, you're to forgive debt. But then also, land was supposed to be restored to the original owner. What is this? This is God's welfare social system. This is his system of making sure that in Israel there is no poverty. There is no poor. There is no inequity. There is no inequality. Those are big words today that we hear with critical social justice theory. But God has a system in place. It was just a matter that the Israelites had to obey the system. They had to trust in the Lord his God and obey him and follow through on it. And God says, if you do that, I will bless you and bless the land. But if you don't do that, I won't bless you and I won't bless the land. The word debt or release is the Hebrew word shmita. Can you say that? Shmita. It means, in this context, year of release or remission of debts. According to God's command and statutes, every 7 years on the year of Jubilee, 7 times 7, the 50th year, is to be a year of release and canceled debts. Leviticus 25:10. You are to consecrate the 50th year and proclaim freedom in the land for all its inhabitants. It will be your jubilee, when each of you is to return to his property and each of you to his clan. The 50th year will be your jubilee. You are not to sow, reap. You are not to sow, reap what grows by itself, or harvest its untended vines. Deuteronomy 15:1-2. At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. This is how to cancel debt. Every creditor is to cancel what he has lent his neighbor. He is not to collect anything from his neighbor or brother, because the Lord's release of debts has been proclaimed. So at the end of every 7 years, debts are canceled. And why? Because the Lord's release of debts has been proclaimed. So interesting thing in contrast to our world today, right? Debts were supposed to be canceled. How many would like to have your debts canceled? Absolutely. How many of you use MasterCards or Visa? How many of you would love to have those canceled? Or how many of you would love to have the interest canceled? If you're an Israelite living in Israel and you're there and you're living under God's terms and you're in need, and I come to, you know, Colton for money, as a fellow Israelite, he's not supposed to charge me interest. Just lend it to me. Right? Interest is usury. And God doesn't like usury. He forbids it. We live in a world where usury makes massive profits. Gets people into trouble, gets people into debt, and people lose their livelihoods. That's not God's plan. God's plan is that the poor do not remain poor, but there's equity, there's equality. That his people do not suffer. Why would God do this? Because there is not to be any poor. If Israel actually obeyed the Lord, he would provide Israel with promised blessings of prosperity in the land. Deuteronomy 15. But there will be no poor among you, for the Lord will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for inheritance to possess. If only you will strictly obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all this commandment that I command you today. For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised you, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And you shall rule over many nations, but they shall not rule over you. So ultimately, Israel was to put into practice debt forgiveness, because they were slaves once in the land of Egypt, and were redeemed by the Lord their God. Deuteronomy 15:15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this today. Remember where you've come from. Remember who you were. Remember your circumstances. You were a slave in Egypt, and I redeemed you out of the land of slavery. Secondly, to whom did the land belong? Who owns the land? God owns the land. God reminds Israel that the land he promised to them and was going to lead them into and that they reside in belongs to him. Leviticus 25:23. The land shall not be sold into perpetuity. For the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me. So the question out of all this is this. To whom do we belong? To whom do we belong? To whom do all things belong? To whom do we owe everything that we've received and will receive? It's God. Why? Because he owns everything, created everything, and he redeems everything. God says to us, as he said to the Israelites, remember. Remember whose you are, where you came from, what condition you were in. Remember how God shed his grace on thee. Remember your redemption. Year of Jubilee is about redemption. It's about remembering where we've come from. It's about remembering that the Lord does care for his people, that he takes care of his people, that he's put in a system in place to care for the poor, to care for those that come into economic disparity. He's put a place in a thing, a system in place to take care of us. He's put Jesus in place to sustain us, to bring us through. We obey because he redeemed. We redeem because we obey. Obedience to God's commands leads to God's promised blessings. As poverty was not to exist in Israel, poverty is not to exist amongst God's people. Why? Because we have been redeemed and restored by a gracious, merciful, and loving God who commands us to be the same as he is. Jesus said, come follow me. Matthew 4:19. Deuteronomy 15:14. Give him a generous farewell gift from your flock, your threshing floor, and your winepress. Share with him some of the bounty with which the Lord your God has blessed you. So when somebody had become a servant to a fellow Israelite, and when it was the year of the Sabbath to be released, and the year of Jubilee, and he's enslaved himself to come out of debt, the Lord says, give to him as the Lord has blessed you. Don't send him away empty-handed. Take care of him. To remember to be generous to another is to be mindful of God's blessings toward us. To refuse is to be hostile toward God and cast aside his blessings to us. So the year of Jubilee and the every 7 years of Sabbath is a reminder to be generous. It's a reminder to focus on redemption with God and with one another. It's to focus on forgiveness, that we're to forgive our brother and sister just as Jesus has forgiven us. To practice redemption, restoration, and forgiveness toward a brother or sister is to assure the security of God in our lives. Because in all of this, it didn't work for the Israelites. They didn't receive the blessings upon them and upon their land and upon their flocks and upon their families unless they extended grace. Unless they took care of those amongst them that were poor, that were impoverished, that they didn't obey the word of the Lord, the promised blessings would not come upon them and come upon their land. Year of Jubilee. Authors and scholars report that they don't know if Israel has ever done this. as God has commanded. That the people of Israel have ever installed the year of Jubilee and installed those commandments of God. Because if we did, what would we experience? A great reset. Everybody restored back to a place where they can begin. If you've fallen, you can actually stand up and you can go forward. If you fall in hard times, there's people there that will pick you up and restore you and look after you because they're listening and loving God, therefore they're loving you. If we listen and obey God, to love God, we will love others. And this is the understanding and the lesson that the Israelites never got. Have we gotten it? This is why the feasts and God's calendar are so important. Because they remind us of who we are supposed to be and how we're supposed to be. Who we're supposed to love and how we're supposed to love. If we love God, then we will love our fellow brother or sister. And we'll help them see through. We'll bear their burdens because we're brother and sister. Because we love God. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why is that significant? Because we believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father, the Spirit, are one. And that the same things that God said back here in the Old Testament are the same things that still apply. Because Jesus fulfilled the prophets and the law. He fulfilled everything. Completely. But the same Jesus that we see in the New Testament is the same God we see in the Old. And he cares about the same things. Jesus Christ is known as our kinsman redeemer. Kinsman redeemer was a relative. A relative that could restore one's property. Well-known story about Ruth, right? She lost husbands and she had a kinsman redeemer that took her and she became his wife. And she was taken care of. She was sustained. She was seen through. Well, Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. He redeems us from the debts that we owe and sustains us in the lives that we live. Question is, am I following Christ so that he can order his blessing upon me and my family? A kinsman, a brother, helps restore you and your fortunes. He helps restore you to your future. He helps to sustain you. In the economy of God, an Israelite was under obligation to do so to a fellow countryman. It was expected. Leviticus 25:25. If your brother becomes destitute and sells part of his property, his nearest relative may come and redeem what the brother has sold. Leviticus 25:35. If your brother becomes destitute and cannot sustain himself among you, you are to support him as a foreigner or temporary resident so that he can live among you. What is God's declaration to us? Isaiah 46:4. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. Because Jesus Christ, being God, is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Jesus sustains us and invites us to live with him, even though we are and have been estranged to him. We are God's children, redeemed by him through Jesus, our kinsman redeemer. Romans 8:15-17. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if God's children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Hebrews 2:11. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers, our kinsman redeemer. Hebrews 2:17, 18. Therefore he had to be like his brothers in every way, so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tested and has suffered, he is able to help those who are tested and suffer. Thus the question needs to be asked, are we living like we are redeemed? Are we looking forward to our final redemption? As children, as heirs, as co-heirs with Christ, we have the right of redemption because of this. God's property cannot be illegally held. Amen? God's property cannot be illegally held. Secondly, Jesus identifies with us fully as our brother, our kinsman redeemer. Thirdly, Jesus paid our debt fully on the cross. Fourth, Jesus is the same today, tomorrow, as he is yesterday. And fifth, redemption is our promised future with Jesus, the Father, the Spirit, and the kingdom. Luke 21:26. People will faint from fear and expectation of the things that are coming on the world, because the celestial powers will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is near. Amen. Amen.